It's always a pleasure to be here. I was told that this slot is supposed to be somewhat of a sicha, so let me begin with some themes regarding these parshios of Yisro and Mishpatim, and hopefully to be able to show you how this relates to what you're learning and your very purpose in being in Yeshiva and Eretz Yisrael. You know, it's somewhat surprising that if I were to ask you the parshios of Kabbalah Satorah, the obvious answer, of course, is Yisro. But then all of a sudden, you look in the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, at Shvi, and the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet, and all of a sudden the Torah recaps. No, the Torah tells us, Ve'el Moshe Amar Aleih Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go ahead and to ascend to Har Sinai. Somewhat surprising then that there are two parshios in Shmos of Kabbalah Satorah, that of Yisro and also Parshas Mishpatim. And the obvious question is, why are two parshios even necessary? A machlokis in Mechilta, a machlokis Rashi in the Ramban, which parsha even comes first? Rashi writes, as you know, that the first parsha is Mishpatim. After all, that parsha, the very end of Mishpatim, was in Dalet Zivan, and then days later, then Aseres Adibros, the parsha is Yisrael. And Rashi applies the principle of Eimukto Muchar Batorah. The Ramban disagrees and maintains that's not true. As you know, the Ramban reluctantly applies that principle. The Ramban always prefers that you can understand the chronological sequence of the Torah Hashem, and therefore the Ramban writes first Yisro, followed by Mishpatim, but undeniably two different parshios of Kabbalah Satorah. So perhaps the first question, very simply, why is it necessary to have Yisro as well as Mishpatim? Why can't there be a single parsha that tells us the significance of Kabbalah Satorah itself? So if I were to ask you a very basic question, and that is, how would you describe the Torah Hashem? What is its essence? What is its purpose? No. You're traveling, the taxi driver says, tell me what is the essence of the Torah? What is it supposed to teach me? How would you characterize it? I would tell you that there are two very appropriate answers. Maybe number one, maybe the most basic answer, is that the Torah is a Sefer HaMitzvos. After all, Taryag Mitzvos Nemar Moshe Misinai. Moshe Kipol Torah Misinai. And therefore, Torah is considered to be a Sefer HaMitzvos itself. That certainly is true. But the question is that the entire extent? That the Torah is simply a composition of the Taryag Mitzvos Shenemar Moshe Misinai? Or is there another theme as well in the Torah Hashem? After all, the Torah Hashem is not merely a Sefer HaMitzvos, but it's also, to use the terminology of Parshas Mishpatim, Vayikach Sefer HaBris. It's also a Sefer HaBris as well. It reflects a covenantal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And these are two very important but somewhat different themes. That Torah, of course, is a Sefer HaMitzvos, but also it's considered to be a Sefer HaBris. When we receive the Torah Hashem at Har Sinai, no doubt that we became obligated in mitzvahs, Gemara and Krisus and Daftes, that's the moment of Gerus, of Gerus. If I were to ask you very simply that what exactly is the formula of Gerus, how is it that a person is Megayer, you decide to become a Ben Yisrael, you know what the answer is? Kachem Kavoseichem. Whatever Knesset Yisrael did at Mamad Har Sinai, so that's what you have to do in order to be Megayer. Quite important. You're learning now Maseches Sanhedrin? You're dealing with details of Beis Din? Does Gerus require a Beis Din? What do you say? How do you know? How do you know Gerus requires a Beis Din? A Gemara? How do you know Gerus requires a Beis Din? Gerus requires a Beis Din. That's true, right? How do you know? Okay, right? That's the Gemara Yivamos Tef Menvav of Mishpat Ksivbei. Just like Dina Mamanos requires a Bezdin of Shlosha, Gerus requires a Bezdin of Shlosha. Does Gerus require Mumchim? No. Dina Mamanos for Shlosha. Does Gerus require Mumchim? These aren't the hard questions. No. Does Gerus require a Bezdin of Mumchim? Senator Dav Beis. Now, when do you need Mumchim? When is it sufficient to have Hebyotos? How do you have Gerus Bezman Azeh? Important. No, okay, take a look. Ask your Rebbeim. No? Tosus Nivamos and Daf Memvav, Tosus and Kedush and Daf Samach Beis. No? How do you can have Gerus Bizman Azeh? Someone mentioned Shlichus Ayu. Right? Is Shlichus Ayu relevant when it comes to Gerus? Shlichus Ayu applies in Dinei Mamonos. Is Shlichus Ayu relevant when it comes to Gerus? Right? The first Nesivus. Right. There is such a Tosus, right? Tosus Nivamas Naf Membav. Shlichus Ayu applies even to Gerus. Chidushin, no? But the source of Gerus, yeah, that's Maman Hasina. Gerus is, of course, a time that the Ger becomes obligated in mitzvahs, but beyond that, no, it's a Knisa Lebris. And the Briskarav writes, oh, Maman Hasina, two halachas, no? That on the one hand, mitzvos, but also a bris. Now, isn't that clear? That's what Knesset Yisrael did. When a person is megar, obligation in mitzvos, but beyond that, a form of a knis of a bris. Biskrav maintains two parshios of Kabbalah Satorah. After all, because mitzvos as well as a bris. You know, when you have Aseres Adibros of Parshas Yisro, that represents the Mitzvos HaTorah. How do you know that Aseres Adibros is related to the Mitzvos HaTorah? There are many Makoros in Chazal to demonstrate that that's true. Know that the Aseres Adibros represents each and every Mitzvah of the Torah Hashem. Now, that's clear. You know, the Medrash writes, do you ever count the letters of the Aseres Adibros? There's a total of 620, the Medrash writes. Because of Taryag Mitzvos, and then Asher Lirecha, the last two words is an additional seven, different Deos and Medrash, for example, the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, as an example, 620 Mitzvos of the entire Torah, the Medrash writes, 620 corresponding to each and every letter of the Aseres Adibros. But there are many such indications. Rashi writes in Parshas Mishpatim that the Torah says, Luchos HaEven, the luchos that Moshe Rabbeinu received, the Aseres Adibros, HaTorah V'Hamitzvos. Rashi writes, why are the luchos HaTorah V'Hamitzvos? Rashi writes, because the Aseres Adibros represent all of the mitzvos HaTorah, all of the Taryag mitzvos. Rashi writes, this was a gift given to us by Rav Sadia Gaon, that Rav Sadia Gaon classified all the Taryag mitzvos into 10 categories. Each one is one of the Aseres Adibros. The Aseres Adibros represent all of the mitzvos HaTorah. Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi, the end of Maseches Tainis. Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know you should smash the luchos? Moshe Rabbeinu said, "No, a kal v'chomer. If there is one mitzvah, for example, Korban Pesach, where the Torah tells us kol ora lo yochal bo, that an oved of a zara cannot participate in a single mitzvah, so the entire Torah." Obviously, an Oved Avodah Zarah is not entitled to. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchos that represent, Yerushalmi writes, the entire Torah. You know, a melech is obligated to write an additional Sefer Torah. The Torah tells us that v'haysa imo, it always has to be with him. And after all, v'kar bal kol yemei chayav, he constantly has to be mindful of the Torah Hashem. What exactly does that mean? The Gemara writes in Sanhedrin Daf, Chaf Aleph, did you learn the next parakeet, what happens? Oso kamin kameya. He makes it into an amulet, the tola zroa, no? And he puts it on his arm. Do you ever wonder, how do you take an entire Sefer Torah and you wear it on your arm? That's pretty hard, no? You've probably seen small Sefer Torah, but small Sefer Torah are still quite substantial. You know what the Das HaKinyan Balei HaTosfos writes? Aseres HaDibros. That's what the melech carried with him the entire time. That which represents the mitzvah Hashem. So undeniably, one role of the Aseres Adibros, Kabbalah Sator, is mitzvos, Taryag mitzvos, Ner Moshe Misinai, a sefer ha-mitzvos. That certainly is clear. And that is Parshas Yisro. The Torah tells us that you now become obligated in the mitzvos Sator. Let me ask you the following. If I say to you, you're obligated in the mitzvah satorah. Do you intend to perform the mitzvah satorah? What would the response be? I always tell you the response is one word, no? I challenge you. Are you going to fulfill the mitzvah satorah? You know what that one word is? Nasa. When you speak about a bris, there's more, no? A bris means that you're entering into a covenantal relationship, an agreement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A bris. Parshas Mishpatim is the bris of the Torah. You don't need any better raya than in Parshas Mishpatim, the Torah tells us, Vayikach Sefer HaBris. Sefer HaBris. That's not my term. No, that's what the Torah says. Now the Torah describes itself as a Sefer HaBris. If I ask you, do you agree to the terms of a bris? Do you accept? No? What's the appropriate answer? Nasa v'nishma. Nasa is not enough. Nasa is not enough. No? I'm insisting that there's an absolute acceptance. An acceptance. Not coincidental. That the response of Knesset Yisrael and Yisrael is Nasa. In Parshas Mishpatim, all of a sudden now, Nasa v'nishma. Targum. Navid unekabel. Unekabel. You have to accept. There's a knisal of bris. The gerus of Knesset Yisrael at the moment of Har Sinai was, yes, obligation of mitzvahs, but also a kabbalah sabris. At the moment of kabbalah satar, you become a bar mitzvah, but you also become a ben bris. And therefore, two parshios, both are necessary. Pretty fascinating. Machlokas Rashi and the Ramban, I can understand both ways. What's first, what's second? What's the cause, what's the effect? Do you begin with the bris, and the consequence is obligation of mitzvahs? Rashi Shita, first Parshas Mishpatim, a Mukta Morcha B'Torah. Do you begin with Nase, and as a consequence of a willingness to observe the Mitzvah Satara, now you become a Ben Bris? You know, the Shita, the Ramban. But you understand that relationship, that confluence of a sense of the Nase of Nishma, that both are considered to be absolutely critical. You know, if I were to ask you, who says Nasa v'nishma? You know, typically speaking, I ask you to do something. You know, it's very reasonable that you should listen to the terms before you agree. Don't blindly accept. But yet the response of Knesset Yisrael is Nasa v'nishma. The answer is absolutely yes. Who says Nasa v'nishma? Who would say such a thing? So I'll tell you two very different models. Number one, you know who says Nasa v'nishma? Ah, this is a sarna on Parshas Mishpatim. An Eved. No? Let's assume you're an Eved. You don't have a right of refusal. You don't have the ability to say no. You don't have that discretion. You're a Ben Chorin. You can agree, you can disagree. You're an Eved, you really don't have the wiggle room. You don't have the privilege of saying no. So an Eved will respond Nasa v'nishma. The answer is, of course, I will do. Just tell me, as the Adam, what is necessary. That's what the Sfarna writes on the Pasuk of Nasa v'nishma. In Eved, HaMishamish HaSarav, Shlomanas, the Kabbal Pras, the Mishnah Mesachas Avos. Who else says Nasa v'nishma? Who else would go ahead and do so? So I'll tell you something amazing. No, Rashi, Shabbos and Daf Peches, you know, whenever you hear Shiurim, not Kabbalah Satorah, Shabbos, Daf Peches, Amud Aleph, no? Arashi and Daf Peches Amud Beis. Rashi writes, Nasa v'nishma. You ready? Kederech she'osim me'av. Av. If you want to express a midas ha'av, you know what the answer is? The answer is yes. You know? You go out, it's time to get engaged, time to get married. Did you necessarily work out every single detail of how everything is going to fall into place? Hopefully you're a Bal Achrayus. No, but every single term, every certain detail. But you know what? The Midas Ha'ava dictates that the answer is yes. It's an amazing Rashi and Sfarna that there are two models of individuals that would say Nasa v'nishma. In Eved, and an Ohev. Typically, I would tell you that those two models are very, very different. We don't usually associate Ava with Avdus. We don't think of an Eved as being an Ohev. But I'll tell you the following. That's only true when you're dealing with a Basavadam. When you're dealing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, That certainly is not true. The fact that you can be an Eved Hashem is the greatest element of Simcha. It's not a contradiction at all. To be an Eved to a Bas of Adam, that is not emotive Simcha. But to be an Eved Hashem, Yismach Moshe, Manes Chelka, Ki Eved Neman, Karasala. Now, to be an Eved Neman, that elicits a great sense of Simcha. Lokein Avdi Moshe B'chol Beis Neman. Now, to be an Eved Hashem, that is the greatest accolade. And there I would tell you that there's no contradiction whatsoever between being an Eved and an Ohev when it comes to a Kadosh Baruch. No contradiction at all. At all. The Avdus of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Avdus, which is Machmas Av. Machmas Av. I remember a few years ago at the Siyum HaShas, I was asked to go to Lublin to begin the new cycle. So on the way to the Siyum HaShas that day, they stopped at the Kevra, the Sas Emes. So they asked me to say a word, a Dvar Torah that the Sas Emes gave. So I mentioned simply the following, that once in the Beis Medrash of the Sas Emes, it was on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, right before Hallel, that the Sfas Emes said that when you recite in the Hallel Ana Hashem, right, the Mincha Shai writes based on the Gong that Ana Hashem is Milorah, not Ana Hashem, but Ana Hashem. No? That's a comment of the Gong, Kesar Mamtzova, that you should do so, right, with a real sense of passion and enthusiasm. That's what he instructed the Hasidim. So they got to Ana Hashem Hoshiana, and half of the tzibur started to scream, "No, Ana Hashem." Another half was somewhat silent. They got to Ana Hashem Hatzlichana, and the other half started, and after Hallel, all tumult. Now, what was the kavana of the Sfas Emes? Now, was it Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana? And the Sfas Emes answered that it was neither. It was Ana Hashem. That was the great Shira Sahala, to be an Eved Hashem, to be an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem is the greatest element of Simcha. And therefore there's no stira between the Avdus of Naaseh Nishma and the sense that one has of the Simcha, the Simcha. You know that term, Ana, can be spelled two different ways, no? Aleph Nun, Aleph, Aleph Nun, Hey, you ever look in Hallel? Well, too busy singing? No, you ever look in Hallel? No? How exactly is it spelled? So, Ana Hashem Hoshiyana Hatzlichana is Aleph Nun Aleph. Ana Hashem Ki Avdecha is Aleph Nun Hey. Yeah, the Radak points out that Ana Aleph Nun Aleph is a Bakasha, please, please. But Aleph Nun Hey is Hodah. Thanking Hashem. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the privilege of being an Eved. That's pretty remarkable. Now, we don't usually think of Avdus in that sense, but not when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a real sense of Naaseh V'Nishma, an ability to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the schus of being an Eved Hashem. And that doesn't always mean that it's easy. Now, Avdus is not meant to be effortless, but rather it means that a person has to be able to focus on everything that you do, in terms of Avodas Hashem. You know, I would suggest, the old question, the Tosus and Shabbos, Peches, and Medrash Tanchum, and Parshas Noah, how do you resolve that on the one hand, Bnei Yisrael said, Naaseh V'Nishma, on the other hand, this past Shabbos, Vayis Yatzvu, V'Sochtei Sahar, meaning, we stood literally under Har Sinai, Kaf Aleihen, Har Kegiges. Now, you've heard about that. Now that we stood, Kadosh Baruch Hu suspended Har Sinai on top of us and said, look, you have little choice. Either you accept the Torah Seshem, if not, Shamte Kureskan, that will be your demise. Now, what do you mean? Tosus asked that. No, we said Naaseh V'Nishma. So, what element of coercion was involved? And when do we assume, ooh, this is something we did on our own volition. Tosfos writes, we accepted the Torah Hashem voluntarily. But in order to make sure we wouldn't change our mind, we wouldn't retract, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended above us Har Sinai. Okay? The Ben Ezra Tanhuma writes differences between Torah Shebi'asav, Torah Shebaal Peh. Perhaps one could suggest that this represents these two elements. These two elements. That, you know, the aspect of avdus is not discretionary. That is kaflein harkigigis. Our obligation in the mitzvah Hashem is not voluntary. It's not voluntary. You don't get up in the morning and decide, well, today do I not. No, a person is obligated to do so as an eved nemar. And maybe not coincidentally at all, that if Parshas Yisro is the parsha of the mitzvahs, that's Vayisyatzu, that's Koflein Harkigigis. But more is necessary, the Navet Unekaga, a Kabbalah Sambris, and that is considered to be emphasized by that aspect of Einaseh V'Nishma. We enter in willingly the bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but we recognize our shibud in terms of the mitzvah satara, that is something which is given. That is not discretionary at all. That is something that is absolutely binding. And that's not up for grabs in any shape or form. And maybe these two parshios represent that element of the Naseh V'Nishma, of the discretion of an ohev, but the mandate of avdus. That's something, I think, which is absolutely critical. You know, I'll tell you what I think is an amazing mashal. More than a mashal. Did you have a chance to see any of those geirus sugyas? It's pretty critical for Sanhedrin in the following sense. You know, geirus is an unbelievable model because geirus needs a beis din, ger tzarich losha, daf mem vav. But what is the role of beis din when it comes to geirus? Did you discuss that at all? What does beis din do? Well, they say what? Chayiv? They say potter? What do they do? Do they render a decision? Is there any hora which is involved in geirus? Not really, no? How would you define the role of beis din when it comes to geirus? Right. There, we'll tell you, that's called a... Right. Amaisa beis din? There's certain categories the Torah has that have to be authorized by beis din, not to render any decision at all. Sometimes beis din is called upon to authorize, but not necessarily to render any hora. No? You have an opening Mishnah. Many cases that are that way. No? Smicha sakenim. What is smicha sakenim? No? Smicha sakenim b'shlopsha. What does that mean? Right? Reference to? Leaning meaning what? Palm Rabba Shal Tzibur, right? Smicha Palm Rabba Shal Tzibur requires good. Smicha Sayadayim. What does beis din paske? Beis din says Chayev or Potter? Chayev or Potter? No? It means that the Smicha Sayadayim and that carbon, the Palm Rabba Shal Tzibur, has to be authorized by beis din. No? Oh, there's a Rambam Pirush Mishnah. Smicha Sakena means Smicha, conferring Smicha. Boshem Shat in Gemara, no? Smicha Sakenim is Parm Dabar Shal Tzibur. Geirus, Parm Dabar Shal Tzibur, no? Chalitza. Does beis din have to render a decision of Chalitza? Typically not. It means that the act of Chalitza has to be authorized. It has to be performed in the presence of beis din. So they're really very different models. Sometimes beis din has to render a psak, hora. Sometimes beis din is called upon not to paskin at all, but rather to authorize a certain institution, the institution of Geirus, so that of Chalitza, or that of Smicha. That's pretty critical, no? Very different roles of Beis Din. Do you need Smicha for Hora? Yes, no? The Pasch, you need Smicha. Do you need Smicha for Geirus? For a Maisa Beis Din. No? You did the Sugyanda, Gimel. Ain't Beis Din Shokel? Why? Why do you have to have an odd number? What's wrong with an even number? Right. What's wrong with having an even number of dayanim? No majority. And what are you afraid of? What's wrong with having six dayanim? Could be a tie. Three will say chayav, three will say pata. Three will say chayav, three will say pata. What do you say about that? Is there any requirement of an odd number of dayanim for gerus, for smicha, for chalitza? You're afraid of what? A split bezdin? You're afraid of a stalemate? Does any decision have to be rendered? I understand that if you have a case of dinim amanos and you have to determine chayiv or potter, so yeah, I understand. Have an odd number, because if you have 4, 6, 8 dayanim and half say chayiv and half say potter, what do you do now? No? But wait a second. Wait, what about the cases in the Mishnah that have nothing to do with psak? No? What about a maisa bez nakima davar? Do you need a bez denotem? Do you need a bez denotem? What do you say about that? No? How many dayanim do you need for chalitza? Three. How many do you need for geiros? How many for smicha? Three. Why? Why? Why do you need an odd number?
It's not between two people, though. It's only worrying one person. When you have to make a decision based on one person will name or the other person winning, you don't want to have a possible tie, because when it comes to smicha or even geiros or something like that, majority or minority is not as big of a deal. You can add eventually, you can get a number two.
So why do we require a bez denota when it comes to those cases? In other words, our Mishnah says that miyunim or chalitza or smicha requires a bezdin of three. So why do you need a bezdin of three in those cases when bezdin is not rendering any decision at all? It's an important issue. No?
There could be questionable issues that come up.
Right? Is that why? Right? Maybe one could argue that even in those cases, maybe certain questions could arise. Now that's interesting. In other words, really, bezdenota is only halacha in hora. But even in those cases, there are potential questions that really could arise. And the only reason you need an odd number of bez in all those cases is because, yeah, you know, it'll be really embarrassing if there's a question that arises and all of a sudden we get stuck. So have a number which is odd as kind of a safety net in case indeed that's true. But that's pretty critical, huh? That's pretty critical. Wow, wow. That's today's Entosos Nivamos, not Kovalev, no? Why do you need a bez denota when it comes to cases where bezin does not render any decision at all? In Ochinami, one day in Tosas, this is because of the potential shaylas that could emerge. Right? Smicha has to be b'chol kocho. All of a sudden, machlokis, whether the smicha was done properly. Chalitza, the shoe has to fit. Does the shoe really fit? Does it not? You know, it's like you go bowling, you know, like they have shoes in every size. No, so is this a good shoe for chalitza? No, a little big, a little small. No, is that really it? Or Tosa says that there's something inherent about bezdin that demands that you have to have a bezdinote. That's a fascinating issue, no? An even number of dayanim, is that the chachil or is that bediyavid? What do you say? We messed up. No, we had an even number of dayanim. Right, we didn't learn that Mishnah and Daf Beis so well. It's very long, no? So we kind of got a little confused, no? So, what happens if we had something with the Bezdin Shakel? Any rayas in the Gemara? Whether Bezdin Shakel is Bidiyevet or whether it's Lachatchila? No? What do you say about that? Bezdin Chotzu, Lachatchila or Bidiyevet? Lachatchila or Bidiyevet? No? I'll tell you rayas from the Daf that you learned in opposite directions. No? Is bezin shokla din lechatchila or is bezin shokla din b'diyeva? What do you say about that? No? The Gemara says, if you hold shneim shadunah dinayim din, if one certainly two, why one certainly two? Racha b'ed ravika, maybe one is good because it's a bezin note and two is worse. No? Two is worse. The Gemara quotes the term in Chumash Lashon Chol Elohim three times to tell you need three. What's the kasha of the Gemara? What do you need a third for? Why not apply the principle of Ein Bezin Shakel? No? I'll tell you why. Because if the Torah says you need three, it's B'dievin. You can't get by with less than three. If the only reason you need three is because of a Bezin Shakel in case of a stalemate, maybe that's only Din L'Tachila. No? I don't know. You'll have to help me out a little bit. No? Pretty fundamental. Do you ever find halacha in the Rambam that you can't have 6, 8, 10, 12 dayanim? Nope. Interesting. No.
If one doesn't know, then you add on twos.
Yeah. What happens in that case, right? What happens? You have a dayan sheni adaya, and all of a sudden you had two. So So that's a total of. So how does the math work? Right? How does the math work?
Do you count the one
who did? Yeah. No. What's the Lashon HaRambam? V'nimsa chamisha, no seven osin b'davar, no?
That's
Lashon HaRambam. Right? So now you have five. Ooh, you don't have four. No? In other words, you add two because the two are going to participate in a way of, yes, enlightening the Dayan Sheni Yodea. Dayan Sheni Yodea, the Rambam writes, is Bechal HaMinyan. That's pretty important. No? Fascinating Kiddush. Right? Yosifu Shnei HaDayanim. Nimsa chamisha, no seven osin b'davar, no? Chidushin. No? It's really important for what you're learning. Now, what's the role of smicha? What's the role of bezdin? Is smicha function? I remember Slavetcher giving the basic shir in Sanhedrin. Now, is smicha a function of bezdin or is smicha a function of ora? That was his chakira. You need smicha to paskin or you need smicha to participate in a bezdin? L'mayin afkamina, bezdin l'kima davar, that there's no psak whatsoever. For example, girus, smicha, chalitza, Bezdin Shokel, is that a function of Ora? Is that a function of Maisa Bezdin? No, Anaf Kamina. Smicha, Chalitza. Pretty important cases. Important cases.
Smicha could be because of the Bailam. They're the ones who made the mistake, so they have to do the Kapara.
Even so, right. Is it so obvious, right, that you need Mumchen for that? But why should that be necessary? Why should that be necessary? Again, that's Tosas Kashi. Tosas raises the very beginning of Mitzvah Chalitza. Why should you require a Bezdin note in those cases? But Geirus. So I'll tell you, just to get back to the Sikha, like a fascinating Gemara. Yivamos Daf Mem Zayin. The Gemara says this. A person becomes an Eved. A person becomes an Eved. You ready? He's not Jewish. He becomes an Eved. You know, an Eved is not just a worker. An Eved has to undergo Gerus. Has to undergo Gerus, no? After a person becomes an Eved, Eved Knani, now he's chayiv in most mitzvahs. Most mitzvahs. It's a form of Gerus. An Eved has to have milah. An Eved has to have tefillah. Because it's a form of gerus, a mitzvah kedushas Yisrael. So the Gemara describes that an eved will immerse himself in the mikvah in order to become an eved. Gerus. So how do you know that this is a tefillah of avdus? A tefillah of avdus. So the Gemara tells us, right, this unbelievable description. I'm like, you ready? The Gemara says that the Eved immerses himself in the mitzvah. And yeah, he's about to emerge from the mitzvah. Good. The Adam, you ready? Yivamos Mem Zayin. The Adam takes over him Zulta Detina Areshe. He takes a clay cask, big kli, and places it over his head. And that's the indicator that this is a tefillah of avdus. Little unusual, no? Person is Tovel. You may think a Tovel, Tosefes Kedusha. This is Avdus. This is Avdus. In order to indicate that this is Avdus, the Adam stands with the Zolta Detina Aresh. That's an unusual depiction, no? An unusual description of Tvila. I would just ask a very simple question, no? Like, where does this come from? Where does this come from? Zolta Detina Aresh. I would tell you, I think it's clear. Well, this is Kofalein Harkiki. That's it, no? Mamish. Kofalein Harkiki. Knesset Yisrael accepts the Torah Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts, right? Azulta Detina Rashenu. Well, places Har Sinai over our head to tell you, Vayisyatsu, this, no, Parshas Yisrael, the Sefer HaMitzvahs. This is a Shibud, this is Avdus. Recognize a privilege, undeniably so. But recognize the responsibility. This is not discretionary, this is Avdus. It's not Avdus that we shy away from. This is, as Rashi writes, Kederach Shosin. Me'ah. No, this is a form of Avas Hashem. Lokein Avdi Moshe, Yismach Moshe. This is the Simcha of Ana Hashem Keni Avdecha. But it is Avdus. It is Avdus. You have to recognize that. The privilege and the responsibility of being a bar mitzvah and being a ben bris. And that, I will tell you, is probably the most important mission statement. The privilege of being a ben Yisrael, but to recognize that this is not discretionary. You know, you don't decide every day, do I learn, do I not learn, do I daven, do I not daven, do I come on time this morning to davening, do I not do so? That's when you have to respond of Nasa v'nishma, of course, of course. No, these are not kind of discretionary that, you know, I'll take you aside and pat you on the back for being a good Eved. You know, this is a shibu, this is an O. You have to recognize that responsibility. When you recite Berachas HaTorah every morning, you begin with Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu, the tzivui, the shibud, a mandate. You must. But you know what? Chazal so brilliantly incorporated, either as a single bracha, or as two brachos smucha lechavrita, v'harevna. That we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the experience should be pleasant, should be sweet, because isn't that true with Esek V'Torah? Esek V'Torah. It has to be a fusion, a merger of Avdus and Ava. The language that Rabbi Yonah writes in the second parak of Maseches Avos, Kishata miyageya esatzmacha b'Torah tishta shema. When you toil in Torah, you have to literally tishtasheyaba. You have to play in Torah, playful. It has to be a playful experience. You don't usually think of avdus in those terms. Yeah, but that's true when it comes to hasmada amelus b'Torah. That's a privilege. The Gvetal writes in his psicha. This is found earlier in Rav Amin Ahar Maseches Nedarim. That there's no mitzvah lav lehenos nitin when it comes to limud HaTorah. The hana that one receives from esek b'Torah, that is an inherent part of the aspect of limud HaTorah. And you have to see to it. You know, the Torah of Hashem is so vast. There is something here that will speak to you. It cannot be that a person can walk away and say that's not true. You know, there's a Rambam. Pirush Mishnah is the very end of Maseches Makos. A Mishnah that you know. No Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael. Lefichach Hirbem Torah Mitzvos. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give us a great basis of merit, and therefore He gave us an abundance of mitzvos. Now the Rambam is bothered by the obvious difficulty. You know, sometimes you see a guy. You know, he kind of like thrives on every chumrah. You know, like every mitzvah, he just runs with it. Okay. So for such a person, you know, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Es Yisrael, a great schus. So therefore, one mitzvah, another mitzvah. But you know, for someone, the Rambam writes, who's kind of tottering, struggling. No. So you know, they ask you a simple question: so many mitzvos, so many obligations. The answer is, a great schutz. Now, I'll probably turn to you and say, for you, Rebbe, okay, but for me, you know, every mitzvah is like a challenge. Now, why is that considered to be a schutz? So the Rambam writes a pretty amazing thing. The Rambam writes that, look, you have to observe all the Tariq mitzvahs. But the Rambam writes, if a person is able to link even to a single mitzvah, because this single mitzvah kind of speaks to you. This single mitzvah is something that I can really relate to. And the Rambam writes that you can perform that mitzvah selflessly. L'shem Shemaim. The Rambam writes that that is a ticket to Olam Haba. Excellence even in a particular mitzvah, the Rambam writes. You can't be deficient in any one of the mitzvahs of Torah. But you know what? If there's kind of a mitzvah you can run with, the Rambam writes, that's great. And that, the Rambam writes, is the meaning kind of this Mishnah. Yeah, you know, I, I offer you supper, you know, and I don't know, how many choices do they have? Pav entrees in the yeshiva? No, and they give you a supper. One main course. Okay. Yeah. Okay, you know, you walk away like one, you know, okay, you know, this isn't my cup of tea. No? You walk into a restaurant. Now, look at the entrees. There's 613 entrees. No? That's what the Rambam writes. 613 entrees. You walk out, nothing. No, nothing for me. Nothing for you. Nothing for you. Yeah, you think so? No? The Rambam writes, that's Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you so many mitzvahs, so many mitzvahs. And every one of those mitzvahs can be utilized for Avodas Hashem. And everyone taps into a different character, a different midah, a different form of tchunas nefesh. You can really walk away and think that, like, there's nothing here, there's nothing here. The Rambam writes, that's exactly the meaning of Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael L'Fichach Hirbahem Torah Mitzvos. Because after all, that the Torah Hashem is so vast, it's so vast. But Esek B'Torah, Liman HaTorah doesn't speak to you. How much have you learned? How much exposure? How much have you tried? Now, I will guarantee you, cannot be, that you cannot tap into the Torah Hashem. Impossible. I will tell you, not just existentially, physically impossible. Before you were created, no? You were taught Kol HaTorah Kula. It's part of you. It's part of you. No? It cannot be, by essence, by creation, by definition, that you cannot blink into the Torah Hashem. Impossible. Impossible. I've never met a Talmud that has tried valiantly and has not succeeded. Not going to happen. No, we were created for this. We were wired to excel in the Torah Hashem. But it requires a sense of shibud, of avdus, of amelos. One of the most worthwhile and important things in life are not meant to come easy. No, of course you have to work at it. Of course you have to do it. I remember one Cholamoy, years and years ago, my children were little, I took them to a tour of, we live near Giant Stadium. Yes, I took them to a tour of the stadium for Chol HaMoed. So, now the tour guide is telling us, just our family, it was a small tour. So, he says, Michael Jordan stood there. Kids were looking, who stood there? Because they weren't exactly sure who the guys were. And, it's explained to them, you know. So, it's like, they were talking to him about, this is the locker room, this is where they change. Interesting, okay. You know, but then he said to them, you know, the Giants, when they have practice, they have to make sure to come on time. Because they're fined. I realize their salaries are pretty high, like these guys with the helmets. No, but they're fined $10,000 a minute for being late. So, you know, the kids walked away like, ooh, you know, $10,000 a minute for coming late. That's really unbelievable, no? And they realize that, like, this is their calling. This is what they have to do. And like, that's it. That's it. No? $10,000 for every minute that they're late. No? So you're on time. You're on time. Our saying that, our davening is more important than the art ones. No? But you have to recognize this is avdus. But it's avdus which is machmasav. And it is that which is most worthwhile and will speak to your guf and to your nefesh. But clearly, you have to give it your all. You have to learn with unbelievable hasmada. Unbelievable hasmada. You think just through osmosis, like being in a great yeshiva is going to do it. That's an important step. But you have to realize that it really is up to you. That your ability to succeed is going to be a result of two things. Now, number one, that your hasmada, your hishtaglus, and your tefillah. That's a gemar in nida and daf ayin. No? Well, what do you have to do to succeed in avodah session? It's a pretty easy answer. No? What do you do in life? Well, the answer is two words. The gemar says you have to be mishtadel and you have to be mispala. Simply. No? You have to give it your best shot right? Real effort, and you have to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya. And the Gemara concludes, ha, b'lo ha, lo sani. Neither one is sufficient. Both are absolutely necessary. You think you can just daven? It's not going to happen. You think that you can just learn? It's not going to happen. No? If all you do is learn, you're not going to be matzliach in learning. Unbelievable, no? Because it's really not fully up to you. You have to position yourself. You learn. B'hasmadatzuma. And you dive into a Kadosh Baruch Hu for siyata d'shmaya. And then all of a sudden you start to remember things. No? Hey, without your tefillah, it's not going to work. You're going to start forgetting. No? You have to chazak and chazak and chazak and daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But you know what? That this should really stick. No? It's a Gemara Mefereshes. It needed a Fayin HaMabez. No, but look it up. Look it up. 22 lines down, third word. Ma'ya Asad HaVayach. No? They remember. They'll remember. No? But you have to really link in. And you can do it. You can do it. I'm telling you. You can do it. And a Sanhedrin is an unbelievable opportunity. You can be Kona Masechta. Extra starring. Ben Azman. And all of a sudden, you can emerge. You'll surprise yourself. You'll see. I've had Talmidim who have made Siyuma Manshas. You know, where just with a simple decision, this is what I'm going to do. You know. Years and years ago, I remember with one of my Talmidim, this was a challenging bechina. I offered a buy. That, you know what, if you learn a blah today, so you can get be exempt from that bechina. So I remember, Rabbi Yehuda Yudin asking about it. No? You can do it. You can do it. No? Just set the goals unbelievably high. Give it your best shot. Let it be a combination of the midah sa'ava and the midah of avdus. And daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for intense siyata d'shmaya. Right? Guaranteed success. Right? It's a Gemara Nida, that I know it is. Guaranteed success. Right? This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. A sefer ha-mitzvahs, but a sefer ha-bris. To be a bar mitzvah, to be a ben bris, to be an ohev, and to be an eved. To be able to respond nasa, but also at the very end of Parshas Mishpatim, to be able to answer nasa v'nishma, as Targum writes, not only will I do, but nadru nakava, I'll accept, with a sense of romulus, and av, and yira, right? My role in the Torah Hashem, and Bezer Hashem, thereby be zoche, to intensity of siyata d'shmaya.